I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle, a lively public affairs program where we talk about current events in politics and public policy. So happy to have our co-host back from Mexico, Jim DeBacchus, on the left.
Olé!
Olé, he says. Ooh. And on the right, Representative Dan McKay.
Hello.
Olé and hello.
Hello.
That's as good as it gets here.
Which in India means get in. So it's always weird for me to say hello because I always think in Hindi, it's like, get in. Hello.
Jim, we missed you while you were gone. There was plenty of news, and it just keeps on coming. The newsrooms in this town must just be popping with things. And let's just go to the, I'll call it the legislative news of the week. House Speaker Greg Hughes announcing he will not seek re-election in 2018.
Greg, who started his career, let's face it, his rocket ship to his career right here on both sides of the aisle.
Became Speaker of the House while he was a co-host.
Exactly. That's the way it happens, and I'm expecting big things of this guy
of Dan McKay.
On my right. Yeah. Let me just say it this way. He is leaving the House in the speakership so he can spend more time with his family in the governor's mansion.
Very good. Very good. Dan, I know you're going to have a lot of insights here, but, you know, immediately the political chatter was this is a move to become governor of this great state.
I hope so.
Okay.
This is Greg is a competent, intelligent, hardworking, driven person who has never satisfied with status quo. Mm-hmm. I have just described the opposite of what I would argue we have seen recently in the executive branch. And so I would argue I would love to see that kind of governor. I would love to see someone driving and pushing something to move forward that is positive for the state of Utah. So if that's the kind of Greg Hughes, the kind of Greg Hughes that I know as a speaker, if that's the kind of governor he wants to be, I'm in.
Very interesting. You know, I would agree with you that he's very action-oriented. Greg, if you had to pick an adjective, you might say, this isn't an adjective, it's a noun. He's a fighter, you know? I mean, yeah. he stands up for what he says. He speaks his mind.
Yeah.
And that is a contrast to Governor Herbert in this respect. Governor Herbert's much more, I think, level in his approach to things.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You say dithering, but I would say, you know, quite responsible and
yeah.
data, for all you know, patient the, with things that he does very deliberate.
Won't the knock
deliberate.
Potentially be on Greg that he is, you know, that he is potentially less those qualities, right? He
right.
is probably more of a hard charger and less likely to kind
work
of sit
hard,
back.
Work hard, play hard.
Yeah, that kind of deal.
Erratic, mm-hmm. frantic. Trump-like will be the kind of portrayal that whoever runs against
him
that's is
going to
say.
When I interact with Governor Herbert, he's a gentleman.
Very well-spoken, very well, and very thoughtful,
uh-huh,
I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just doesn't, in my opinion, we have had a lot of that and not a lot of drive or focus.
What's the conventional wisdom from both of you for why you wouldn't want to be speaker as you mount a campaign to be governor?
Well, there's always, and I don't know, you know, Jim probably has a different feel on this, but as a Republican, there's always some dumb bill. Some bill that gets voted on and it becomes law and everybody's saying, well, why did you do that? And as Speaker, you find yourself supporting colleagues, missing a vote or two because you're working on something else. And so the question is, do you want to have your hand on a bad bill or two mm-hmm. that someone in the legislature's come up with, and you then have to make that part of your campaign.
Right.
I'm not sure that's
the
valuable.
The countervailing point of view would be that you're more relevant as speaker and you have a bigger bully pulpit. Jim, any surprise? Do you agree with Dan's analysis of why he would step out of the speaker's race to run for governor?
Greg, according to the DeBacchus Google search, is wrong 83.97% on the issues. He's wrong most of the time. But you know what? I like action. Mm-hmm. The question is action in the wrong direction better than no action at all? And I say, if it comes down to picking a Republican, I kind of like Greg. And I love Spencer Cox, and someday we'll have to go across the, and we will be talking, no doubt, the next, through 2018 on who the next governor is going to be.
Yeah, real interesting. Well, there is just another subtext, and I just want to bring it up because this, you know, we talk about politics on this show. Some think that there's an outside chance that he will run for the open U.S. Senate seat at the bidding of Mitt Romney to give, at the bidding of Donald Trump to give Mitt Romney some trouble.
Interesting.
Because of the Romney-Trump thing. And that even if he didn't win Trump for the original, was his nickname by Donald Trump, for the original to do what Trump wanted, Trump would reward him with a nice political appointment in Washington.
Oh, interesting. That's...
Is that just overthinking, Dan?
That's above my pay grade, right? But I look at the alternative voice that Trump would like to create potentially in that Senate seat. I don't know. I think that Trump has learned a little bit about being out in front during primary elections.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was potentially someone that he was going to put his hand on the scale
for. You're talking about the Roy Moore
incident, right?
Yeah.
Anybody still, I'll just ask this. Who knows the senator that is actually seating? What? Yeah, nobody.
No,
Jones.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, we got one.
I don't.
Yeah. So, no, yeah, we all know the Roy Moore.
I know Alabama won the national football college championship.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'll just say that I think Trump has learned his lesson and is hopefully going to stay away from primary elections. But if there was someone he would cross over for, it might be someone like Greg.
Yeah, interesting. We need to talk about Governor Romney, but I want to save that for the second segment so that I can bring this up. I thought it was so interesting. There was a Utah Taxpayers Association meeting in the last week where the Speaker of the House gets up and says, hey, federal tax reform could be a $75 to $150 million windfall. And then the President of the Senate gets up right after him and says, well, actually, it could be net neutral or even cost us money. It was quite a display of how much uncertainty there is about the impact of the tax bill in our state. You guys are both legislators. What are you hearing, Jim?
The guy I trust on taxes is my former colleague, John Valentine, who's chairman of the Utah State Tax Commission.
Former senator,
guy who knows his stuff.
A tax attorney.
He was quite clear. He said, you've got three categories. The people making 70 grand a year are going to see their taxes soar. Utahns were making 70 grand a year.
He didn't say sore.
Well, okay, the exact words are, the average Joe with three kids using standard deductions and an adjusted gross income of $70,000 a year will see their state income tax go up 9%.
State income tax.
Yeah. Right, 9%.
That sounds like a windfall.
They're
going to pay more.
For the state, yeah. The average Joe, the less than average, making $30,000, according to the state tax commission, is going to owe $63. They don't owe anything. And the rich are going to end up with paying the same. There are losers for the state of Utah, and it is the people making in that sweet spot of $50,000, $70,000 a year. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Thank you, Mia Love.
Dan, you've had a House Republican caucus.
How did you get in there, man?
You had a House Republican caucus retreat. Is there any consensus about whether we will get more money from this federal tax reform into Utah coffers?
There is a real sensitivity on keeping anything that the federal government has made changes that the state should then proffer from those changes, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, between $75 and $100 million is what the fiscal analysts are kind of giving us a range of where that could be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to call it. I think it's still way too early. There was no consensus on how it ought to be handled. And so we'll see where leadership takes this.
Do you agree with Jim's point that the rich benefit?
No, I don't.
This is both sides of the aisle. That's why we'd say that.
I can only follow.
It's good for the poor, right?
Yeah, right. It, as much as they have jobs to get out of poverty, you're absolutely right. It is very good for the poor.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out, Jim. We're trying to get as many of those guys into the $50,000 to $60,000, $70,000 range as we can, and Jim is trying to keep them.
If we give enough money to Mitt Romney, we know eventually it's going to get to that single mom who's cleaning hotel rooms at Grand America. That's a one way to hand it out.
I'm Natalie Gochner, and you're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm joined by Dan McKay and Jim DeBacchus. In our next segment, I'm excited to talk about Governor Romney and potentially a run for the U.S. Senate for Utah. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For more of our in-house podcasts, visit kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider a donation to keep local programming alive on KCPW.
Dan McKay on the right.
Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I wanted to make clear to our audience that next week, Both Sides of the Aisle will be at the Hinckley Forum at the University of Utah.
Yeah.
It's next Wednesday at noon in the caucus room on the U of U campus. Come join us. We'd love to have you. There's even a Q&A afterwards, and you get to have your own questions of Dan McKay and Jim DeBacchus.
Mitt Romney and Bernie Sanders will not be there.
Are we taking questions?
We are.
Live questions.
Cool. We will take questions. So watch for that Wednesday at noon, the caucus from the University of Utah. I want to just start out this segment by talking about the love affair that this state seems to have with Governor Mitt Romney. And it manifests itself in so many ways, but one of them is, you know, that he's the most popular political candidate in Utah history before he even lived here. Another one was Spencer Cox's tweet that if he were running for the U.S. Senate, he'd vote for Governor Romney running against him. I don't know. Is he 70 years old?
He's 70 now.
70 years old.
Yeah, 71
healthy,
in March.
Healthy. You know, the whole prostate cancer thing came out. We'll talk about that. But he's a healthy, good-looking, smart, successful man, and this state likes this man. Jim, what do you make of the love affair?
It comes down to one thing, tribe. You know, he made it big outside of Utah. He's LDS, and LDS people resonate with that. It's a big deal for him. So when people say to me, Jim, why is it so important that we have a gay judge? You know, they lose the fact that people care about their tribe.
Yeah.
They want that. They share in the success. Mitt Romney, it's one thing, Orrin Hatch is here, but he's down home. Mitt Romney left on the international stage he made there. He made millions of dollars. He went back and was governor of Massachusetts. He came close to Ted Kennedy, and now he's coming home. And it's not like Orrin Hatch or Mike Lee. It's not profit in their own land. He's this exotic conqueror who went out and now he's coming
armor.
Home. And that I explain it that way.
I think that's interesting. You know, I would have believed that more in 1990, 2000, even 2010. But, you know, this state is less and less LDS, and still he packs incredible popularity. Dan, what do you think explains the love affair this state has with a guy that hasn't lived here that many years?
Yeah, I think if you look at successful people that are LDS, it's kind of like Jim said, it's really the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Utah generally, and I would say especially the LDS community, we love to see people do well. Look at Steve Young, right? Mm-hmm. He was, the 49ers became the football team of Utah for a long time, mm-hmm. right? Steve Young, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can look at Jim McMahon and the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears did not become the most popular team in Utah as an NFL team, even though he's a former BYU quarterback, most successful BYU quarterback, really. That didn't happen either. And why? Because not the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the tribal instinct, the tribal difference, and I think people looked at that. I think Jim's right.
I want to say from the
center. Did I just say you're right?
I know. I want to say from the political center. I get that, but I think it's more than that. I think he has magic associated with him because of the Olympics. I think there's an afterglow that has come from the games. So, you know, people that worked with him, all of those volunteers saw what he was able to accomplish. I think that he's a moderate, and I think this state has a lot of independents and moderate folks that appreciate his viewpoints. He's also a businessman, and we are a very pro-business state. So I think it's more multifaceted than the tribe, but that's just my opinion.
It's deeper.
I get a say
you think
it every once in a while.
There's a deeper element to it.
Yeah.
Think the voter population is more educated?
Well, and you even have Democrats right now saying, I'll support Governor Romney because, you know, he'll be a foil to Trump. And so he has these characteristics that make him very intriguing.
I mean, I was in the other room and I heard the Romney crowd, his little group of advisors, and the conversation went something like this. Okay, Mitt, again, Sandy is near Draper. Logan is in Cache County, not Carbon. Farmington is where Lagoon is at. Weber is a county as well as a university. You got that, Mitt?
You know what's going to hurt Mitt the first time he says Thule or Duchesne or Monticello, heaven forbid?
Well, Manaway.
Manaway instead of Mantua.
There probably needs to be there probably needs to be a Utah pronunciation guide for a guy from Boston.
Is it Hooper?
Hooper.
Hooper?
Hooper.
Yeah.
Hooper nuns. Okay.
Look, this guy, we got to talk about this.
Yeah,
he's not Utah. He has very little to do with Utah. He's a usurper.
Maybe that's what some of us like about him.
Okay.
So you don't like your
state. I love my state. I'm just having fun.
Okay.
I'm just having fun. But let's break down just for a second. We're treating it as a foregone conclusion that he's in, and I think that is right. But let's just go the political strategy. When it came out that he had successfully been treated for prostate cancer last summer, that to campaign people, they could sniff that for exactly what it is. Dan, explain the political logic there.
Yeah, so you start airing your laundry, right? If there is dirty laundry to be aired, you start airing the laundry early. Before you're a candidate, so that everybody could say, oh, we already knew about that.
So if
old news.
Old news.
Yeah, if Mitt Romney was arrested for a DUI in Boston, he needs to get that out right away.
Right away, right?
Like George W., right?
Yeah, George W. Funny, in New England as well.
So this just lends to the seriousness, right? So I got a poll in my email that said, hey, would you give us some feedback on the upcoming election? And the poll in my email box was all about Mitt Romney running for U.S. Senate. And it gave a list of 10 reasons why I wouldn't support Mitt Romney if he was to run for U.S. Senate. And I thought, what a weird poll. Mm-hmm. But again, I think because the poll was, I think, is being done by Y2 out mm-hmm. of Provo. Mm-hmm. And I think Qualtrics who was collecting the data. But listen to this. These are the nine items that they said reasons why I wouldn't vote for Mitt Romney. One, he's not from Utah. Two, he's too old to start a career in the Senate. Three, he may attempt to unseat his own primary sitting president in 2020. Four, his failed presidential bids. Five, he doesn't know Utah issues. Six, he said he wants to be McCain-like figure in the Senate. Seven, his anti-Trump speech at the U. Eight, he's using Utah to further his own career. Nine, he's going to fight President Trump's agenda. This is what an interesting poll, right? Mm-hmm. But if I'm Mitt Romney's camp, I'm running that poll because I want to find out what people really think of my weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. And what the people and get them out there and start start talking about
them. Remember, I think it was.
But hold on, hold on one second.
Okay.
Can you name any of those things that might not be true?
All I can say is I don't have a problem with him at all.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I can read those things. You know, so I thought that the anti-Trump speech on the University of Utah campus went a little far, but I was happy he took a stand and said some things and
fraud and a phony.
he's right. He called it like it is.
He's worth a degree.
His education is worth less than a degree from Trump University.
This is clever.
Oh, it's something.
Hey,
if you're in third grade and you're punching back at a playground bully, those are great insults.
You know, let me throw something in here.
Let's hear it, Jim.
The most worrisome thing about Donald J. Trump in America and in Utah is not Donald Trump. A megalomania, idiot who isn't prepared. Gaining power has happened throughout history. What concerns me is the kiss-up, the fact that so many Utahns, virtually our whole political establishment now, including Mr. Romney when he wanted to be Secretary of State, they're caving in. Chris Stewart with Mussolini now can't wait to get rid of the investigation that he's on. Our governor who said, I will never vote for him. There was singing his praises because he's getting what he wants. It is bad for the Republic to have these Republicans set aside their values and rally around this man so they can score their little petty political battles and not call out this man who is unfit to be in the White House.
Very reasonable Republicans are saying things like, there's Trump the man and the character that we don't like, and then there's the policies that we love, and we're able to separate them.
Yeah.
And so one question. So if Romney runs, and if he runs, I believe he'll be successful, what will his relationship be like with Donald Trump?
Oh, interesting.
Because I don't see him. I mean, I think some people think he's going to be a contrast to Trump, but I think Romney's much smarter than that. I think he'll agree with him on some things and disagree with him on others.
I think I agree with you. I think his relationship with the president is much more nuanced.
Mm-hmm. And he won't be Hatch saying this is the greatest president I've ever worked for.
That's true. You know, and I can't decide.
But if it was if he had to align with him to get corporate tax cuts like the Republicans did, he'd do it.
Yeah. So my question is, Trump is actually aggressive, right? And that's one of the things that drives Utah crazy because we're passive aggressive for the most part.
I think that's true.
And so
we're all nodding.
Trump is like he's actually aggressive. So the question is, you know, I'd be asking another question, which is, you know, what's his relationship going to be with the president? I'd be asking the other question, what's the president's relationship going to be with Mitt Romney? Is he going to be actually aggressive and try to sink him as a candidate and actually trying to sink him as a partisan? Or is he going to be passive aggressive and just sink him when he's not looking?
Yeah. But so there's news reports that President Trump has actually called Romney, encouraging him to run.
Yeah.
So this is the nuance.
Put out by the Romney camp.
Which shows really...
this is the nuance.
Didn't come out by the White House. I mean,
Which shows a really intelligent, evolving and changing Trump position on Romney, right?
Yeah.
But the big issue about Mitt Romney is which Mitt Romney is going to run and which Mitt Romney would go to the Senate. Is it that one who ran against Ted Kennedy in the early 90s that was more liberal, that said, I'm more liberal on abortion and on gay rights than Ted Kennedy, and then the liberal who ran and won as governor of Massachusetts? Or will it be that presidential candidate who suddenly got more and more and more conservative? Or will it be the Hinckley Institute one who was calling Trump out? Or will it be the suck-up Mitt that went up to Trump because he wanted to be Secretary of State? Which Mitt Romney are we talking about here? Who's going to be in the Senate? That's what I'd like to know. If it was the 1990s Mitt Romney of Massachusetts, I would be waving the sign.
Yeah, interesting. We can't leave Romney and the U.S. Senate race, Dan, without bringing you into this just a tiny bit. Your name keeps coming up. You've been in news reports as potentially taking on, I don't know if it'd be taking on Romney, but running for the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
Are you considering it? Is that fair for me to ask as your friend here?
I think what the problem is, I've been wearing a cologne called Ambition. And I'm pretty sure everybody smells it. And anytime they catch a scent, they think, you know, he'd be really good for this. So I really don't know. It's always interesting to be mentioned. I can't decide if most of the time that's, you know, people who are delusional and think you'd be good at something or whatever. It's just I take it as what it really is, which is. It's political fodder and gossip for the most part, and I think there's a lot of opportunity in this state for people who are willing to dig up roll up their sleeves, get to work on public policy, and is that a federal office for me someday? Maybe.
Yeah, interesting.
Who knows?
Yeah, well, great. We'll
I'd like to see Dan
asking
Ron.
You about it.
I think he'd be great, but look, I don't know whether this is a conspiracy or it just ended up this way. But sometime in August or September, Hatch says if I don't run, I want Romney to run, and then Hatch stalls, waits till January, and now Mitt is deciding. The entire Republican opposition pool is frozen, and what's going to happen when Mitt finally says, I'm going to take this calling, and I'm going to accept the coronation for the nomination and for the Senate seat, it will be too late for anybody else. It may not have been a strategy from last fall, but it certainly ends up as being, what kind of time is there going to be for anybody to organize against Mitt Romney?
Yeah. Well, this is going to be
a fascinating Natalie hopes
year.
There's no time.
You know, I just really appreciate Governor Romney's leadership and talents, and I'd love him as a U.S. senator. So,
yeah.
Hey, we need to go to gripes, you guys, and I don't know what people are thinking, but Dan McKay.
Left lane loafers. I'm on it today.
Let's hear it.
Sorry. Natalie's always trying to keep our microphones in balance, and I always blow it up. But left lane loafers, people, you should only be in the far left lane on I-15 if you are passing.
Left lane loafers.
Your job is not to chill in the left lane and just cruise down the road at whatever convenient speed is there for
drinking
you.
Drinking your Diet Coke.
Drinking your Diet Coke, talking on your phone, doing that deal. Get the crud out of my way. I'm trying to get somewhere.
I'm trying to get to both sides of the aisle.
And your left-hand loafing. So that was my beef.
Okay, let's do our first McKay-Debacus bill, and let's do something about that. You know, we have some power.
What?
I hate that. What? Your gripe. Let's do something.
What? Got an idea?
Yeah, let's throw people in prison. Let's have capital punishment. I mean, this is a catastrophe. Sorry.
Jim, your gripe.
I guess that is my gripe. Look, my gripe is shameless.
No, he's gotta mention Mia.
Shameless people who plug things. Come see my show. It is going to be Saturday night at Salt Lake Acting Company or Sunday at 1 and 6. Saturday night, you can go to jimjabs.com. It's about 75 minutes.
Freeform comedy by Jim DeBacchus?
No, it's not comedy. Well, it's a little bit of comedy, but it's not intended that way.
My gripe, I was having dinner with my husband the other night, and the news was news coverage was covering Oprah Winfrey running for president. And my husband's not a particularly political guy, but he looked at me and he just goes, really? Is that where we're at?
And you told him yes.
And he basically said, is she qualified to be president of the United States? And it just sort of like, has there really been this tipping point where if you're famous and have money, that you're, you know, presidential quality.
Or senatorial quality.
Yeah. And that's my gripe. I want to see a progression of public service and academic and, you know, business accomplishments that make you qualified.
Giddy up.
You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I've been joined by Jim DeBacchus and Dan McKay. The program is produced by Emily Means.